Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown.
The sickest Chicago Bears and fantasy football podcast. Gonna be sick.
One of the very best presenters in all of the UK, it is Darren Fletcher. Of course, he calls Premier League, Champions Leagues for TNT Sports over in the UK. But more importantly for us here, massive Bears fan. How did you become a Bears fan?
Easy. 1985. I think I was about 11.
Yeah.
And it was on the TV. And the NFL was at its peak then. I mean, it was so popular. More popular than now, even though we've got regular season games. The 85 Bears and McMahon and Peyton and the 46 defense and the fridge and all that, you couldn't fail to be kind of dragged along by it.
Yeah.
The NFL was a curiosity at that time, but then this team kind of transcended everything. And it became a big team in general in the UK, never mind about an NFL team.
Yeah.
It was a popular team, and you saw posters and pictures of the 85 Bears everywhere. And then, of course, we got them to Wembley Stadium in the summer of 86 as world champions. So I got tickets. It was the first time I've been to Wembley Stadium.
Oh, wow.
To see anything. And we get to see the 85 Bears play there in pre-season. Dave Dewison got an early touchdown. The Fridge got one. McMahon didn't play very long. Peyton didn't play very long. But I've been hooked ever since.
Oh, and our mutual friend, Vernon Kay, also a massive Bears fan, too. We'll have him on the show at some point. Sorry, Vernon, he beat you. So, yeah, this is what happens when you actually come to the Super Bowl. One of the big storylines for the Bears over the past couple of days is the Hall of Fame induction of Devin Hester and, of course, Steve Mongo McMichael, who is a member of that 85 Bears team. How did you feel last night when you got the news?
I thought it was great. And we've not had a great deal to cheer about as Bears fans for the last couple of years. So to get that piece of news last night, look, Devin Hester was always getting in.
Yeah.
And Julius Peppers was always getting in.
Of course.
But for Steve McMichael to get in now was perfect. And I think that just completed the class. And I saw some footage today of the number of people at the house with him last night.
Yeah.
The big screen set up and everybody who he wanted with him. I just thought it was perfect because he epitomized that 85 Bears defense. I mean, we all see the snarling Mike Singletary pictures and Richard Dent gets the MVP in the Super Bowl. And we talk about all of that. But his attitude, demeanor, aggressiveness, character in the middle of that defensive line for me was what made that unit.
Yeah, you know what? And a lot of my love for the Bears stems from my parents and how much they love the Bears. My dad was a huge Mongo McMichael fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, Walter Payton, number one. Singletary was in the mix, too. But he always loved Mongo McMichael. And, of course, he went on to have a great career in professional wrestling and all this stuff. I always love the stories, too, that he tells. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard this story about one game. They must have beat the Packers. Him and Dan Hampton decided, you know what? We've got some time. We're going to go out and we're going to go drink all the Packers fans' beer. So they go out to the tailgate party. They're pounding beers until they hear the buses start up. And they're sprinting to the buses. Ditka sees them, flips them off, and tells the bus to take off. And they have to find their own way. And even Steve McMichael himself talked about, like, he played with the Packers. And he's like, yeah, I knew. He's like, I knew I was garbage. I just wanted to go take the Packers' money.
Do you know what? I had a great story about him the other day. Dave Wanstead told it, and he said they were in training camp, and they got a free night. So they designated one of the bars the coach's bar.
Yeah.
So Dave Wanstead has said to the team, I don't want to see anybody in the bar. This bar is for the coaches. So when all the coaches walk in, who sat at the bar? But Mongo McMichael with a beer. So when he sees the guys walk in, he said to the guy, down the beer. Said to the guy behind the bar, look after these guys tonight. Paid the coach's tab and left.
No way.
Yeah, in the middle of training camp. And that to me is a team guy.
Yeah.
That's a team guy. That's the kind of guy that glues a franchise together, keeps that locker room spirit where you need it to be. And I just thought, yeah, I like it. You want your heroes to be that kind of guy.
That you
want to
be that kind of person.
Yeah.
And then the most interesting thing was when you started to examine the numbers. You're like, he was such an excellent player, like more career sacks than Warren Sapp, that this wasn't just something like, hey, this guy's going through some, like, he was a legitimate candidate and should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago.
Absolutely right. And I think it's only fitting that he's in there now. I mean, I've seen a lot this morning on the TV today. They were trying to rank the best Super Bowl teams of all time. And for some mad reason, the 85 Bears came in second to the 72 Dolphins.
Stop it.
And I'm sitting there thinking, if those two played each other, that would be over by the end of the first quarter. So I was a bit disappointed with that. But that 85 Bears, I've got some nice memorabilia in my office at home.
Yeah.
I've got some game-worn McMahon cleats.
Oh, my God.
Which might just be my favorite thing in the whole room.
Everything stems from that.
Adidas high tops with the three stripes. They're fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's funny because my most cherished Bears possession is my dad's old starter jacket that he got for Christmas in 85.
Brilliant.
And it was just a great thing. As a matter of fact, the Devin Hester Super Bowl return, people spilled beer on it because I was wearing it in homage to him.
Hey, let me tell you this, too. So we do a podcast sometimes back in the UK, and we persuaded McMahon to come on.
Yeah.
So we did him via Zoom from his house in Arizona. And I said to him after, do you want paying for this or whatever? He said, no, just send some beer. So I said, well, it used to be Moosehead way back in the day. It's only Coors Light now. He'll only drink Coors Light. So I had to find a beer distributor in Arizona that would deliver Coors Light to his house. Because how else could we get it there?
Right.
So I had a lovely message back for him saying, the beer's arrived. Anytime you need me, I'm available. So that was good.
A great note. I would have sent him. No, that makes sense. I was like, what is. Because I walked into a place the other day and they had Harp on tip. Oh, it's a 9-5 Irish. You're like, oh, you never see that here.
Yeah.
But I, of course, like, you know, you're gonna play to him. Play his hits. There you go. Wants to hear. Devin Hester, as you said, already getting in. Let's talk about this year's team. Because obviously another big thing. Once the Super Bowl's over, the spotlight turns to Chicago even more so because of that number one overall pick. I know that we've talked about it. But for the record, what do you think the Bears should do with the number one pick?
Listen, I would trade Fields, if they could get a second round pick for him. I like the idea of that. I think trading the second round pick for Montez Sweat was huge. If you can get that back, I think it's great because there are holes to fill on the roster. They need a center, they need an edge rusher, they need another wide receiver. And my view would be that I think we've seen certain aspects of Fields play in the NFL that tells you he can be a starter, that tells you he can be an adequate starter. But I think when you've got the opportunity to solidify that position for a decade with a person that could be an excellent starter, a top five player in the league, and you also reset the clock in terms of having to pay the quarterback, that enables you to fill out the roster with skill position players as well. So I don't think it's a difficult decision. If Caleb Williams or Drake May or Jaden Daniels is as good as people say they are, then I don't think it's a difficult thing. And I think the sample size is big enough now with Justin. And the bigger concern I've got is I don't think he sees NFL open still.
Yeah.
I think a receiver is open before Justin sees it. And I think the great ones anticipate receivers
that's
being open. I don't think that's a good thing for him. Athletically, fantastic. But I also think as well that when I kind of see him, I'm not seeing enough progression. And I always know that he's going to miss three or four or five games a season just based on the way that he plays. Somebody said to me a long time ago, the best ability is availability. And I think you need your quarterback to be able to play the full season more often than not. And I think that's always going to be a knock with him too. So I think if Caleb Williams is the transcendent talent that people say he is, why would you pass him up? I mean, if they could redraft again, they would take Mahomes and not Trubisky.
Yeah.
They could have had CJ Stroud last year. You can't keep whipping on the quarterback. And I think there's this narrative that it's a Chicago thing. I don't think it's a Chicago thing. I just don't think they've had the player in the room to be that guy for a long, long time. If Caleb Williams is that guy, they've got to take the opportunity to do it. The Chiefs are probably going to win the Super Bowl this week with a roster that's not as good as it has been.
Yeah.
And Mahomes is going to get them over the line. Wouldn't it be great if Chicago had a quarterback, if that is Caleb Williams, who can do that for us? And then we can every year think, well, we're going to win the division. We're going to be a playoff team. When we get there, this guy can get us through, whether we're at home or on the road. I think you've got to do it. And I know he's popular. Yeah. I know that if you did a straw poll in Chicago, I would be in the minority.
Yeah. The fans feel that way. Most fans feel that way.
The GM's got to do the right thing.
A lot of the GM, like a lot of the player personnel people, and I always talk about Daniel Jeremiah, who works for the NFL Network, is one of the guys that I talk to a lot. And they always say the same thing about resetting the quarterback clock. And you mentioned it earlier, we were doing a bit for BBC. The two teams that are playing in the Super Bowl will show you the contrast of what your decision is. Like, you want, because Caleb Williams gets compared to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And so you have that side, or you have the Brock Purdy, let's surround him with a bunch of talent. How do you think that's going to work out? I mean, that
I would also like to challenge, if you sat down with a genuine Bears fan, right?
Yeah.
And you said, if you could start next season with Fields or Purdy, what would you do? Based on the sample size. Based on what you've seen as an NFL player. Forget the fact he's the last pick in the draft. Let's have a look at what's happened, what he's done. And I don't think there's a great deal in it, if I'm honest. I think you could kind of make a case both ways.
Easily.
So you're talking about the guy that's the last pick in the draft. You've got the chance to take the pick. You don't want to be, how can you be, the GM that didn't pick CJ Stroud and then doesn't pick Caleb Williams if he becomes what we expect him? You can't survive if you're Ryan Poles and you do that. He dodged it last year by not taking Bryce Young.
Yeah.
That's a great trade. But if he doesn't make the trade and draft CJ Stroud, what are the Bears fans saying now? They've got a quarterback.
They wouldn't have DJ Moore.
So it feels right now, doesn't it?
It still feels okay.
Feels right now.
But you would be able to explain it away. And regardless of what happens with Caleb Williams, at some point you'd be able to look back and say the process was correct. Like, it made sense. Like, there was nobody's going to fault you for drafting Caleb Williams.
I also think that it's a good situation for him. I think if you go to the Commanders, which is being spoken, Cliff Kingsbury fine, but they're just ripping the roster apart.
Yeah,
I look
traded
at Chicago.
Montez Sweat and all that stuff.
He's going to be able to throw to Cole Kmet. He can throw to DJ Moore. They're probably going to draft the receiver relatively high if they get Adunze at number 9 or Malik Nabers if they fall. All of a sudden, you're going to have a decent receiving core. The line's getting better. You've got a good running game. That's always been the case in Chicago, and you've got a defense that can help you. So, I think for a quarterback now, it's as good a situation as a lot of Bears quarterbacks as rookies will ever have got into.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to like work out when someone was in a better situation than this as a rookie. I can't remember it.
You know, I support Justin Fields. I've made my feelings on this clear, but I've always also said, if they're going to do the Caleb Williams thing, which is fine, I'll accept it. He'll be my quarterback. Our friend, I don't say this when Tyler's on, but I joked. You go, hey, Tyler, you're going to make a lot of money with that number 13 jersey. Sell it. He has the presence of mind to be like, well, I also have to get on this good side. I'm like, yeah, that might be like a business decision. Like, here, you can just have this. Just remember when I'm open.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing 8 now or whatever it'll
but
be.
You know as well as I do, a rookie quarterback's best friend is his number one receiver, his offensive line, and his defense.
Yes.
Right.
Which the Bears are now starting to put together.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was going to say that if you get Caleb Williams, and let's do what the Texans did last year, where they traded back up into the top 3.
Yes.
Took Will Anderson. Let's trade up and get Marvin Harrison. Like, do it. Like, all right, sell everything then.
Yeah,
Let's go in.
Yeah, I would. And I would. I mean, the one thing we don't know, and this is the big intangible, I was listening to Tim Hasselbeck this morning and Dan Orlovsky on the television, and they were saying that they won't be surprised if when this process is over, that Drake May is significantly closer to Caleb Williams in terms of the evaluation than he is now.
Yeah.
And they made the point this morning, I didn't know this till today. He committed to Alabama and only went to North Carolina due to family connections. This is not a case of, well, he went to North Carolina because the powerhouses didn't want him.
Yeah.
He was committed. Saban wanted him at Alabama. So you know the talent's there. He's 6'5", he's 230, he's athletic. He's got a different skill set to Caleb Williams. But I just wonder, if they did automatically then go, well, I tell you what, we'd take Drake May. And you've got the opportunity to trade back to number 2, an additional first-round pick. Still get the quarterback that you want. Williams goes to Washington, let him deal with that.
Yeah.
The Bears still get their starter for the next 10 years, one that they really like, and they get additional draft capital too. So there is a scenario where they can do whatever they like. I mean, they should come out of this draft and next year's draft too, because they get the additional pick from Carolina.
Something's gonna happen, yeah.
Where they should be stopped. And I think when you look at the personnel group now, when you look at the evaluators now, they're drafting well.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're hitting on a lot
of players.
That's
the thing, yeah. You think about guys at the end of the draft.
Yeah.
Come through. They've done a really nice job of that.
I think so. And they've remade the secondary with good picks. They're getting players coming in the later rounds that are making an impact. So
still have free agency this year. You know,
a lot of salary cap.
We expect like Bojack and Cody Whitehair will probably be released at some point.
But then you sign Jalen Johnson. You've got your number one corner. I think they've got... If you look at the NFL, I always think you need a great edge rusher. They've got one now in Montez Sweat. You need a shutdown corner. They've got one in Jalen Johnson. You need two good tackles. They've drafted Darnell Wright, who's, I thought his play in year one could be better, but the signs are there that he's going to be a really good one. I think they were quite similar, his numbers, to Penei Sewell year one in Detroit, which trends well for the future. You've got a number one receiver, DJ Moore. You've got a tight end that can stretch the field and be a big part of the passing game. And you run the ball well. So the key areas, those key bits, are the shutdown corner, the edge rusher, you've got them.
Yeah.
They're in a situation where they got most of it. So come on, let's do the right thing. Let's kick it on. I think this could be a perennial playoff team for a long time. And I think all the questions that people have about Ryan Poles right now and Kevin Warren, etc., they can answer that through this draft. So they should come out the other side now with a starting quarterback and either another wide receiver, a left tackle, or an edge rusher that's going to make a massive impact on the group.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a great time to be a fan of the Chicago Bears. I think everything's trending up. Starting this week with Hester, Mongo McMichael, of course, Julius Peppers.
And by the way, I was in the stadium week one, Green Bay, this season, and I couldn't foresee the positivity I'd have now compared to what I saw that day.
That was a terrible day.
Yeah, and it got better over the year.
Yeah, and that was the thing. But we talked about this too. Like, they were good at like beating the teams they should beat.
Yeah.
We still have to get over the hump.
I'd have changed the coach, by the way.
Yeah.
I'd have changed the head coach.
Would you?
I think that the big error.
They love him.
I know. I'd change the coach. I just think you've got to go. If you're going to draft a quarterback one, you've got to pair the coach and the quarterback together.
I would think so.
I like Waldron. I like Waldron coming in. Sean McVay tree. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Thomas Brown coming in to do what he's doing on the offensive side as well. That's all good. Just not sure about the coach. But listen, if they get the playoffs next year, if we're good, then fine. But
I continue to improve. We'll see.
Yeah.
He's learning.
You like him?
I do.
Yeah.
I do because the players like him so much. Okay. That was one of the things. Is like the team never quit.
No.
You know, you never got into a situation where like the team looks like they're revolting. There was no finger pointing on either side of the ball.
Do you know what I did think, though? He's the only coach in the NFL who could have had to dismiss so many members of staff, and it never really landed on his doorstep. I'm sat there, and I listen to all this stuff. When I walk the dog, this is Bears podcast time.
Yeah.
So this is right. Every day I'm out there in the fields with the dogs, and they get a walk depending on how good the podcasts are. So if there's loads of stuff to talk about, we're out there for hours. So I'm kind of walking through them. I'm thinking if this guy was managing in the Premier League and he kept having to sack his staff, he'd have to go at the end of the year.
Yeah, that was. How are you not responsible?
He's like a mafia boss from years ago. It's not me, it's them.
So Teflon Don over there of Chicago. Oh, that's great stuff. But listen, Darren, I want to thank you. I'm glad we were able to do this, and I'm glad I got a chance to work with you. We talked to Flavor Flav on Radio
Row. We did,
we
did.
And now you got a bit of shopping to go do.
I'm going to go and damage the NFL Experience store, and I'm told there's a great little shopping mall just down by Caesar's Palace. I'm going to go take a look down there. And I'm just going to enjoy the whole Las Vegas thing. It's great to actually come on and talk about my team, the Bears.
Yeah.
I apologize for anybody in the U.S. who's thinking the English guy knows nothing.
He knows a lot. No.
This is just what I've gleaned from walking the dog, listening to podcasts and things like that.
We're going to do this again. So we'll be in touch. So don't be a stranger. We'll have you on sometime either before or after the draft. Darren, thank you very much. Hey, everybody. I am here with the fan of the year. I've long said, and I saw Annie yesterday.
Yeah.
I said, there's three Packers fans I like. Her, you, and Aaron Nagler. And that's it. That's the list. We could not be more thrilled for you. Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy.
What has this experience been like?
I mean, just this is a whole whirlwind of a thing. I mean, I was supposed to – this is my first Super Bowl. This is my first Radio Row. It took me 9 years to get here.
Yeah.
You know, and shout out St. Jude because they were the ones who were able to hook me up with this. And it's just been surreal, like on a different planet. And then last night was just – last night, like, I'm in the green room and Deion Sanders is there. Justin Jefferson is there.
Did they talk to you? Or
They're talking to themselves. I'm just like, I am not.
That's
even
okay.
I'm just like, I'm just going to observe and just be here. And, like, as a guy, like, pretty similar to this table, you know, 9 years ago, just with a folding table in my basement, and now we're here. It's just, it's a lot of gratitude.
You know, obviously, you know that I'm a huge fan of your work, and I love what you do. So it was a thrill for me to see you up there. You gave the award for what? Coach of the Year?
Yeah.
And your boy botched the name.
So, all right. I can give you some of the depth. That was
what happened?
So, the thing was, so I got called into rehearsal on Wednesday. Okay. And it was just like, and Justin wasn't there. So, like, I'm sure he's doing actor things. So, goes and basically goes, all right, like, this is the stand-in, what have you. You're just going to walk in. You got one line. I got this script that day. Yeah. And it's just one line, and it's, I do hate the Vikings, which is, like, perfect. No notes. That was incredible.
Huh.
And so I'm standing up there. I do it. Great. Wonderful. And then I get there, and I don't see Justin anywhere, like, yesterday. And I was like, okay, waiting in the green room. It's not there. I get ushered up, and I was like, is he here? He comes in, and then he goes, all right, do you have the script? And I was like, I pull it up on my phone. I show it to him. I'm like, here you go. Like, this is the thing. This is your life. There's a teleprompter right there. And he's like, okay. we hit the tablet, and like, there, don't push the off button. That's the worst thing you do. I'm like, there's a tablet. I won't. Don't worry. He's like, you swipe up and you swipe down. That's it. Up, down. I was like, I got it. So we get out there. I'm ready to go. I'm a little nervous, of course. There's, you know, there's millions of people on live TV. And I'm like, all right, as long as I don't mess it up, we're great. Right? Max Crosby introduces us, botches it. And I was like, okay, wasn't me. We're good. So even if I do mess up, we're okay. Right? I get out there. It goes well. And we saw who won because, like, we saw it right backstage, you know, and that's
right.
it. And I kept telling him, I was like, it's Kevin Stefanski, Kevin Stefanski, like, Brad, because he's a Bears fan.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So we get on there, and then he just goes, Steven Stefanski. And just, like, my instinctual teachers went, it's Kevin.
Yeah, just... that was it was a fun moment where I was going to add, that, so that was not scripted.
No, it was not. It's,
I mean, it does suck for Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, well, the best part is... Well,
he won an award. He's fine.
He's fine. And he also has a cousin, Steve, and he talked about that. He's just like, I was getting calls about that. But the best part about it is Justin, the actor, like, he was, like, best known for This Is Us.
Yeah.
His name on the show was Kevin. So it's just, like, this perfect, like, that's phenomenal.
Unbelievable. But it was a cute moment. I love the way that you did that. Like, it's Kevin. Kevin.
Like, because I'm just like, come on, man. It,
is
like,
this it's a
just,
bit? Well, I got to go back... a couple of weeks, a couple of months ago, when you started, hey, I'm selected for this, I thought it was a bit.
Yeah.
For the long, I was like, holy, is this for real?
Yeah.
Like, what did you think when they first reached out? You're like, who's, I would have hoped you would have thought it was me playing a joke on you.
So,
something like that.
So, what wound up happening is during 30 and 30, people started mentioning the Fan of the Year program. And I got to be very honest, like, I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, because I just hadn't heard of it before. So I said, all right. So what wound up happening ultimately was I didn't nominate myself because I'm not a narcissist. No, but I got a call and they actually left a voicemail and they're like, hey, you know, this is Haley from the Packers. And I was like, okay. And I wound up calling them back and they don't answer. And I was like, okay. Then I get in touch with them and they're like, yeah, like you're our Fan of the Year. And it was just a, wait, really? Like really, really? And they're like, yeah.
And you call Perna and you're like, did you? What are you doing?
So, you know what the best part is I called Perna, and we're allowed to curse on here now.
Do it.
Okay. Is the mic on?
The mic's on.
It didn't look like
you know
it.
What, here.
It.
Holy shit. Okay, fine.
Okay.
We broke it. Now we're blue.
We broke it. So I called Perna. He was one of the first people I called. And he's like, well, you're going to fucking win it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, dude, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just legitimately, like, it's like the Oscar. I'm just happy to be nominated. But it was, you know, representing my team and stuff. And he goes, no, you're going to fucking win. And I was like, all right, we'll see. So then... here we are.
It's just an amazing whirlwind. So after honors, now you're sitting there, you're hobnobbing with Dion and Justin Jefferson. What
As
happens?
I stand in a corner.
What do you do? I mean, like, do they? I've been in those situations. Like, I remember when I first started with the NFL Network. Like, you did not get involved in their conversations or anything like that. You did not speak until you were spoken to.
Yeah.
A lot of that vibe going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of respect, right? Like, you have, like, Deion Sanders going up to Justin Jefferson and talking about their play, and I'm like, what am I going to offer that conversation of just, like, hey, man, I'm not a professional athlete, but I talk about you guys a lot. And it's just, like, more of taking in the moment of, like, I'm here, right? And, like, this is an incredible, like, just kind of take it all in right now, and it was awesome.
I meant to give you notes before you went, and I was going to tell you, act like you're too big for them.
Yeah, right.
Like, who is this guy? Like, it's Deion. Like, and you're young looking enough that you could be like, did you play in the NFL? Like, Deion, like, oh, you're a player? I had no idea. Like, having that kind of, like, that's the way, like, whenever I have somebody new who starts at the NFL, I'm like, act like you've never seen the players play because they love that.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt Warner, like, oh, did you play? Like, that kind of.
Oh, do you have that movie about you?
So that was a true story?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just.
Go up to Sean Payton and be like, nah. Paul Bart, that's how I know.
It was Kevin James. You and Kevin James look identical.
Just say, I thought you were brothers. Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, I wanted to be incredibly respectful and also be like, yeah, man, like, I'm gonna just enjoy this because who knows if this is ever gonna happen again.
Did you walk the red carpet? I missed that part.
So it was, there was two red carpets and there was one behind the hedges and then there was the actual red carpet. I was behind the hedges, which is probably the right move.
We're very happy for you to be here, but you don't get to talk to Kevin Frazier.
No, you're mingling. And it's crazy because unless you're like VIP, like they all just congregate in the same area. Like there was hundreds of people just like crammed into there, and like you're just like bumping shoulder like Derwin James.
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, okay, like hello, that sir. That's cool. Yeah, just like, hey, good to see you. There were some players that wound up coming up after the honors and like shaking hands and being like, congratulations.
Oh,
and
no
stuff.
Way.
I saw Mark Murphy, which was awesome because, you know, Mark and I go way back. I've been interviewing him since 2016. So I actually, when I was on the stage, I didn't know he was there. And I caught eyes with him. And I was like, oh, man, like that's a cool moment.
That's pretty cool. And I know the Packers organization, like they really love this kind of stuff to the point where they don't like me,
yeah.
Which is cool. Like we play into the bit. Like,
sure.
It's fine.
You have to.
I know that for them, that had to be really special. Because like you said, you have that relationship with Mark Murphy,
yeah.
And it's a community-based team. And so for you to go out there and win it, like, that's a huge deal. What did you do afterwards? Like, did you go out partying? Were you exhausted?
Oh, I mean, I've been exhausted since I've gotten here. But then again, I've been exhausted since 2019. So it's a matter, like, last night, I had the moment, like, we said hi and, you know, kind of said hi to some players and stuff. And then hopped on a bus, and then we just wound up like going to Vegas. This is my second time in Vegas, and the first time I was here was for 30 and 30 for 16 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so we went out to like a bar and just had a couple of drinks and then came back, and now we're here today. So I was like, I got to work tomorrow.
What was your idea? Now, you started this 9 years ago, nearly a decade ago.
Yeah.
When you think about that time, put yourself in that mind space. Like, what was your whole thing? Like, this is what I want out of this. Like, I'm going to start a Packers podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want out? Like, what was your ideal scenario of, like, this is what I want out of this?
I mean, that's the thing, and I try to explain that to people, because I'm sure you have this too, right? People come, they're like, how do I get into this? How do I start this? Because they see where you're at now, and they're just like, the amount of people are like, I want to make extra money, and I'm going to go into this. And I was like, you are in the wrong
profession.
It's
never work that way.
So it was one of those things, because I made the first video after the Packers lost to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. And that went back in 2015. That was like viral. It got like 60,000 views. And that was, now it's a full-time teacher. So I said, okay, I'll do a podcast. I didn't put it on YouTube because I wasn't smart. And I just did it two times a week. That was it. I did a Tuesday to recap the game. And I did a Thursday interviewing opposing fans, which, by the way, I actually had a fan 7 years ago reach out to me, a Falcons fan, because I used to go on Reddit and just ask the Falcons fans or ask where we were going to play, and I was just bringing on regular fans and just talking to him. And he actually texted me today, because I gave him all my number back then,
of course,
to talk to him. And they were just like, I'm so proud of you. So that was just a really cool moment. But it was just something I did out of love, and I tell this story all the time. It took me 3 years to make $200.
Yeah.
You know, and I just did it, and as I just do, I loved it more and more while teaching. And I just really had no aspirations. You know, I got that first interview with Mark Murphy, and I was like, this is it. Like, I peaked.
Yeah.
I'm done. You know, I was sitting in the hallway. I'll never forget this. And Mike McCarthy's walking past me, and I'm just like, just got to pretend we've been there before. Just got to pretend. But, good morning, coach. Yep, that's it. Good morning. I'm like, okay. And I saw Dom Capers walk by. Wasn't as enthusiastic as a good morning because their defense wasn't that good. But it was just, I talked to Mark Murphy, and I go, that's it. I'm done. Like, this was amazing. I've gotten everything that I want out of this because I'm just a fan of the team, right?
Yeah.
And I love talking football, and I love talking about the Packers. And for it to, like, go to this, just each year getting bigger and bigger, 2018, NBC reaching out and just being like, hey, we want to film something for Sunday Night Football. Can we come to your house the day after Thanksgiving? And I was like, that one, I was like, this is not real. Like, so no one's going to show up to my house, or it's going to be, like, Adam Rank is going to show up to my house. But that was, like, I got to talk to people like you. I got to talk to people, like, throughout this community who, like, I watched and showed in this industry. And I was like, wow, the fact that I can share a space with these guys is crazy. And it just kept getting larger and larger. And I just kept putting more and more time and effort into it and just working nonstop. And, you know, 100-hour weeks between teaching and this. And now I'm at the Super Bowl, man.
Unbelievable. You're going to the game?
Yeah.
Do you root against the 49ers?
I'm absolutely.
100%,
yeah, 100%. Like,
I'm sort of, yeah.
It's one of those things that I know nobody wants the Chiefs to win except Chiefs fans and Taylor Swift fans, but it's kind of, if I can't be happy, I don't want anybody to be.
Yeah.
Like, when the Giants beat us, like, this true story, when the Giants beat us and they were going up against the undefeated Patriots, like, go Pats.
Go Pats? 100%.
Go Pats. I don't even care. I was like, everyone be miserable. It's fine.
See?
And that's an NFC North thing, too, because, like, you know, because that's a Super 100%. Bowl, too. When the Packers get eliminated, you're just like, popping open the champagne. You're like,
you are one step ahead of us. Like, you're Packers or the 49ers.
Yes.
Like, you hate, like, you literally, and like growing up in the 80s, I hated the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I hated the team that played in Washington. I don't know how to refer to them.
Yeah. The Washington team.
They were the Washington team. Hated those teams because that's who would beat us in the playoffs. And like, I didn't hate the Giants. Like,
no.
I saw Carl Banks here.
Okay.
Walking around, and I remember one time I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you ever feel, or maybe it was Harry Carson, who I asked one time, like, do you ever feel like your 86 Super Bowl really didn't count because you didn't beat the Bears. It's like, no, we didn't care.
Yeah.
Well, this is great. I'm really proud of you, obviously. What do we do? What's next? Like, so now after, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. We're going to have a great time. You're going to go home. You're going to have some time to reflect.
I'm hopping on the red eye after the Super Bowl to get home and work.
Like, what do you, like, you just, are you more motivated to do more stuff? Or are you like, hey, I just want to take a couple of weeks out and chill out?
It's one of those things that the fact, because at this, back, this is 2015, I think I told you this story. There was a guy who came on the show, and you always ask him to plug stuff, right? Because they're your guest. And they said, and this, I was on a teacher salary. I was making no money. And they didn't have any social media. They just promoted a charity that gave assistance dogs to veterans who were wounded. And I said, okay, like I got together $50 and donated. So I was like, that's the right thing to do. And if I ever get a platform, I'm giving back. Like, that's how it's going to be. And it's been $720,000 the past like 3 years that we've donated to a bunch of different charities. I think going to the St. Jude dinner Wednesday night and just talking about the work that they're doing and just like talking to all these charities. There's a charity here that's amazing that helps underprivileged youth. That's incredible. It's just like, I want to raise money for them. Like, I just want to, like, I have an insane platform that I'm so grateful for, but like, I work really hard for it. We do Friday night Q&As. Like, people have met me during here. They're like, wait, you're just like the same dude. I'm like, I'm a dude. Like, that's it. Like, I'm just a dude.
You're a guy.
I'm a dude who loves football and loves the Packers. Yeah. That's it. And to be able to use that and raise $500,000 in 30 days, like, that's the kind of stuff I want to do and just keep growing and keep getting, like, bigger and bigger to do and give that more.
Yeah.
And that's it, man.
It's such a great testament to you and everything you do. And I know that we talked earlier in the week, and you're like, and I knew you were going to win. Like, I felt like Perna did, you were going to win. I'm like, there is just no other, like, it just made too much sense. And I know that you were setting up 30 for 30. We had talked to.
Yeah, I talked to you. Yeah, I mean, like.
Hey, I could help you out with SoFi and things like that.
I mean, you were one of the people I reached out to and was like, man, like, I got this crazy idea.
No,
I got this crazy idea in the shower. And, like, look what it turned. Like, that's why I'm here. You know,
it's part of the story, but it's not the story.
In terms of just like the commitment to giving back and do it, like, that's what it is. Like, and it's just, it's not a front. It's not a, oh, like, let's just get publicity. I mean, we call it chaotic good. I didn't tell St. Jude. St. Jude found out because I jumped through a table, and they're like, are you hurting yourself for money? Like, they reached out and they're like, who are you? Like, and that we do every charity. We don't tell them. And because, like, I don't want the recognition, like, and to have any recognition, that's what I said, to get nominated. I was like, this is so special. It's for the fans because they're the ones who nominated me. They're the ones who donated. You know, like, I was just the idiot who went to 30 stadiums and, like, you know, sacrificed my body and mind to do so. But that's fine. And now this is like, I'm up there because of them, you know, and like, that's just,
well,
a really,
I mean, but
feeling.
It's also because, like, you connect to people. Yeah. Like, again, like, joking about the Packers fans who I enjoy, but it's like, it goes beyond that, because, like, you're just a fan of the sport that I'm a fan of, and I think other fans of other fan bases see that, and it's not like it's just a pack. Like, I don't even think of it now as like a Packers thing.
Yeah.
Especially the stuff that you do with Brandon, like, it's just really good. It's just really great football content, and it's an amazing to see you reach this level.
I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, I try to get the pulse of every fan base, and I work really hard. I read subreddits, message boards, social media, just to, because when I'm reenacting them as a 49ers fan, as a Bears, I want to get it right. Because, like, you have Titans fans who go, we don't get any coverage. So, like, the fact we're in one of your skits, I really appreciate it, because, like, at least get it right. And I like to think I do.
Yeah, you do a great job. Once again, I'm going to tell you, I could not be more proud of you, not only for this, but for all the work that you do, all the money that you raise. You are somebody that people should be aspiring to be. You're the personification of somebody who comes up, and I've had these conversations with people for years, like, how do I, like you were saying before, like, how do I, you gotta do it, do it, there's no substitute for doing it, and you showed us how to do it the right way. So
I appreciate you.
I love you so much. Keep going. The great Tom Grossi, the fan of the year. We could not be more thrilled for him. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we would both say go Chiefs. This is one of the great things about the Super Bowl, is that you get to meet people kind of outside of the industry. And Dr. Oz, so great to have you here. What's going on? What brings you to the Super Bowl?
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
We've got a foundation called Health Corps. Think about the Peace Corps. Same basic concept.
Yeah.
You get these college grads, instead of putting them in Botswana with the Peace Corps to build dams, you put them in high schools around America. Started 20 years ago, raised about $80 million. We're all over the country. It's a very affordable way of getting young people to get mentored. Because I got a secret for you. And I was on the President's Council for Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition. So I know this to be the case. We do not have enough coaches in America.
Yeah.
The mentoring that I got when I was in high school and Al got, you know, you couldn't, I don't think, get where you got in many instances if you didn't have good coaching, either from an athletic person or band teacher, theater, doesn't matter. Someone older than you, wasn't your parents, gave you some advice.
Yeah.
And so we put these kids out there, they do just that. It really helps us when we have professional athletes come in there and say, guys, look at me. I mean, I'm living it.
Yeah.
I was the best shape of my life. I'm retired. Here are the things that I've learned. Here I'm going to share with you. That's why Al, who's in Tennessee, can do it. He leads the NFL alumni chapter. They're our partners.
Yeah.
He leads the chapter in Tennessee. And I just share, what, how does it impact the young person when they hear you? You look like a truck. Still, I would tell them something about life.
Well, anytime you know, as a former athlete, because, you know, they're idolized, obviously. You know,
yeah.
Some athletes, what have you. And what you say, they, you know, they take to heart. And you want to give a positive message and be able to continue to, you know, fulfill and give great information into their lives to be able to take it forward and take it on later in life. So anytime you can kind of touch the youth, and that's one of our missions with NFL alumni, you know, care for our own, caring for kids, and caring for communities. Obviously, the kids are part of the community, and kids are kids, and they go to the next level and give us the opportunity to really test their lives.
And this is something that's very important to me, because anybody who knows, who watches this podcast, knows that I talk way too much about my kids' soccer teams, because I love coaching it, even during the NFL season. You know, I made a decision this year of, like, I know that it's very busy, but I was still going to coach my daughter's 10U team, my son's starting 6U soccer, so the importance of having that kind of mentor. Do you think, because, like, I remember, so this year, this is a dumb story. I'm going to make you listen to it. My daughter's team won. We won our league. We won the tournament.
Oh, I love that.
I reached out to my friend, who I hadn't talked to in a while, but I remembered his dad was our basketball coach growing up, and having a coach who still, to this day, inspires me. Is there somebody, like, in your life that you think back when you were a young kid that you think about to this day?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, like, parents or friends of parents or whatever the case may be. There's always a mentor. I had an older brother. He's a couple of years older than me. He's a great student athlete. Emphasis on student, and was able to see both sides of it. Because a lot of times as an athlete, you focus just on being an athlete. But there's a student aspect to it as well. As with a lot of kids, you want to make sure you take care of your academics and doing well in school. And that transcends even beyond the athletic field and give you the opportunity to be successful. You can be successful in both. There's no rule, no law that says that you can't be a successful student and a successful athlete.
100%.
And being able to have both and knowing that kids can attain both, as opposed to just, you know, leaning on one, you know, one thing just because of the fact that, you know, you like, you know, we all like sports as young
right.
people, but, you know, school sometimes can be secondary, you know, with having fun. But you can have fun with both, and they can coexist at the same time.
And it's important, too, to have – and I know, like, coaching my own children, like, my kids don't listen to me. But, like, the other kids do, so the club. But it's important. Like you can – not only are you reaching your kids.
You say that, but it's fascinating to actually look at the data on this. They actually hear you. The kids, they don't say it. They will reject it in the moment. But as they get older and they begin to mimic you, they'll become like you. And they don't treat themselves – the way that you treat them, they'll treat themselves the way you treat yourself.
Yeah.
So when you're taking good care of yourself or dealing with the issues in your life, they learn that. Your daughter, for example, in soccer, someone probably told their coach, don't run to the ball, run away from the ball to get open.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's tactics.
That's our spread the field.
Spread the field. But that's basic tactics. That's 101. But then when it doesn't work, what do you do? And how do you adjust? And
we're all about the process.
Exactly. and that's important, because when you actually look at why it's the approach matters more, because if you fail in that one game, there's going to be a game tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if you didn't actually take care of everybody well in that game, they're not going to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's the bigger lesson of life. You don't show up in life, eventually people won't show up for you.
And you made the point as far as, like, sometimes the kids don't listen. Not just your kid, all of our kids.
Yeah.
They don't listen. But the thing about it is putting them in front of someone, even though you and I are friends or whatever. If I know your kids or whatever, they may not listen to you. And I can say the same thing that you said. They'll listen to me.
100%.
But as long as they get the message, with having them around people, that they might not hear your message, but if you're around somebody and have them around people that are giving the same message that you would give, as long as they get the message, it's a key.
So the question is, how do you do it? So in order to get these, to scale this up, you got to help parents and you got to have schools. So what having the NFL alumni involved with Health Corps allows us to do is to make that impact, especially in underserved areas. And I'll be very transparent. You got to raise money to do these things, so we do. And the NFL alumni have been great about this. They partner with a company called iHerb. And IHRB gives a lot of money to Health Corps, our kids' foundation. But they're also, thanks to the NFL alumni, giving a 15% discount to every person listening now. And here's the request to you. Go to iHerb.com, buy whatever you want. Healthy food, it's all healthy stuff on it. Healthy dog food, infant formula, you know, chocolate bars, supplements, whatever you want to. But put in NFL alumni when you go there, because you get 15% off, and the money, the extra money goes to the NFL Alumni Association to fund their efforts. So that's how we're going to make sure that everybody in America who needs these programs can get them.
It's very important. And and when, once you get into coaching, like, it just, you can't get it out of your, I bore people with this. I was there.
It's fun.
I'm going to make you watch.
There's a coach there.
No, I'm going to make it look at this.
Like, the coaching you is coming up.
Now we're getting home videos. And here they are in Rome over the summer. And they're the Adirondacks. And
No.
Like, here she's water skiing.
This is, like,
I love this. Oh, there's a picture of us.
That was a picture of us.
With a trophy.
Yeah, we took the first.
Look at this. Look at this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm dressed like Mikel Arteta.
Yes, exactly. Why is that? Why?
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Come on.
So I got to do that.
See?
So there it was. There's nothing like it. Like, it is really, like, I'm so glad that I did it. And I was on the fence for a while because my kids signed up for soccer. I'm like, I'll just be a referee and not have to worry about it. And I'll do it once. But then I got hooked in. But I'm hooked in. And
so how'd you deal with the parents who might not have liked the way you talked about something happened?
I just tell them to sit down. I had a coach, like my assistant coach, and he knows this. And I tell him all the time, like, go sit down. Don't talk to, because I don't like negative words. Like, when you're, especially at a 10U level, like, we're all about the process. Because something happens, you know, and kids miss a goal or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, they'll be running down the field and be, listen, 100 times out of 100, you made the correct play. It's going to go in eventually. Who cares? Get back, play defense, do that stuff. And then I make them watch professionals. And I'm like, Saka is missing goal. Like, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Goals.
They miss goals. Yeah. Like, it happens. Like, you're okay. As long as the process is good. And the one thing that you never want to do is you never want to question their effort. And if they're out there trying, playing their best, there's nothing more I can ask for.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. And it shows up. That's why I think we underestimate the importance of sports to our youth. So I played in college, not obviously at his level, but my son had a chance to play. And we had, you know, there was always a big debate about, do you let your kids play, you know, contact sports?
Yeah.
And I thought he should play, and he did play, because I thought I learned so much through the process. Even though there were risks that I'd get hurt, and I got hurt too, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the bigger messages. You're going to not just fall but you're going to fall and break things sometimes.
Yeah.
And so as long as you're thoughtful about it and the process works, you're going to get so much out of that that you'll be a better person as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, the attributes you learn from sports, you know, whether it be, you know, teamwork, courage, adversity, overcoming adversity, all those type of things, character, all those type of things that they can transcend into life, you know, in business or whatever they go into beyond that. So that's why sports is so important, you know, for kids to be able to learn that, or failure, being able to come back and adjust and do all those type of things. It gives them the opportunity to be successful in life, in real life, you know, going forward.
Yeah.
Now, I want to bring somebody in here. Kyle Richardson. Looks like a gazelle as he walks over here. But I want him to speak.
He's crashing the party.
So Kyle actually runs it at Alumni Health. And I love you just to get, he's so good at this. Explain the importance of getting players.
Sorry, Al. We're going to take you out of camera.
I'm moving over.
Kyle,
sit where I am.
This is like panel at the Tonight Show. We're moving over. Make sure you're
talking about
coaching and how much important and the importance of being there for kids and the youth.
Yep.
You had a better leading question than I did.
He knows the question, Dave.
Well, Dr. Oz and our organization, NFL Alumni, and the NFL Alumni Health in particular, we are actually proud here to be today on Radio Road. Dr. Oz has been gracious enough to partner with us. Healthy Core is a part of what he is doing, his passion, getting into high schools, talking about health and wellness. Our NFL alumni, Al Smith, is a president out of the Tennessee chapter and is a person that would be able to come in and partner with all of us, right? So Dr. Oz, Healthy Core, layering in the opportunity at Tennessee chapter. Like we were talking earlier, Al, we're looking forward to coming in.
What are the challenges of getting players engaged in this process? There are thousands of players who have a lot to offer. They haven't been engaged. I think we're wasting a national resource.
We are. From our perspective, Al's been a beacon of the community. He's been an ambassador. And we're giving rise to that. So we organized our chapters, and we've said in our mission statement, caring for kids, caring for our own. Well, I was part of a think tank early 5 years ago,
few other people that said, hey, how do you care for kids if you don't care for your own? So we flipped that and said, now we can actually go do a good mission statement. And now we have a partnership in youth and sports. And this is what we know, right, Al?
Exactly. I mean, one of the big things, like, you know, Kyle said, you know, obviously, you know, caring for our own, caring for kids, and caring for our community. And this is a whole community effort as far as bringing this together. We talk about kids, sports, youth sports, parents. I mean, that's your community. And filtering it into that and building that and taking it to a whole nother level.
The sense of community is a huge thing. Because, again, walking around, I'll be in a coffee shop. Somebody like, where do I know you from? And I'm like an idiot. I'm like, oh, NFL Network. Like, no, that's not it. Like, oh, you coach the Red Lightning. I'm like, oh, yeah. That is what I'm, like, most proud of.
Oh, I love
people,
that.
People the are coaches. Done.
You're the team of it.
That was my daughter and I after we won our title.
That's awesome.
See, you're
a NFL Network. No.
That's my daughter. And she's a... Look at that. The boys started this. I'm doing both teams now, so I'm fully committed to
doing it. I got to do both ways, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I can already...
The boy team.
I brought him out to practice with them. I'm all over him, like, but okay, young lady, good job.
Right.
Well done.
Like, man, do a bunch of the same way.
No, yeah.
You hit on the coaching aspect, and actually, that's a theme that we've been talking about. And Dr. Oz, you have said yourself, who's one of the most important people in your life?
My football coach in high school,
yeah,
not college or anything else. And he was my first guest on my show because he was such a wonderful and sage advisor of how you deal with adversity.
Yeah.
And if you're out in the field with the wrong mantra, then you're going to have a downstream effect. I never thought about that. Because we don't realize the power we have on each other.
It's true.
But we're defined by the people in our lives. So be an uplifting person in other people's lives. You control completely.
Yeah, one of my Coach Trischel, who is my freshman basketball coach, one of my friends ran into him like last week. And he texted me. He's like, Coach T's here. I'm like, tell him I still hold him in high regard. Because of a lot of the lessons that he taught me. And it's a big thing. And I talk about it way too much on this podcast. The comments will come through and be like, can you talk about the Bears now? And it's like, no.
I just want to talk about the Bears. We're going to the Ditka event tonight.
So you are in the cigar party.
Cigar party. Well, I'd love to be an Eagles fan. You must be obviously.
Jaws is part of it too. What did you think about, can I ask an Eagles question? What do you think about the meltdown at the end of the year?
You know, I ran into Jeff Lurie. After this all went down, I don't think anyone really knows.
Yeah.
I must say, as a doctor, I was looking for just a diagnosis. I mean, I felt terrible because they're my team, and I don't think anyone really appreciates it. So I'll tell you, it comes sunk in when we run the Tush Push,
yeah,
in the playoffs, and we did the score. It just was symbolic.
It looked lackluster.
It did. It just, like, they knew, like, it was just lackluster. They knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
As opposed to knowing that it was going to work, which gets to the classic coaching adage, when you think you can and you can't, you're right.
Yeah,
right. It's a mental.
All right, well, listen, I want to thank you guys for stopping by. Hit us with the website one more time. How can people get involved? And again, if you watch this show, you know how important this stuff is to me.
Right, so I'll say these are two great groups that are working with NFL alumni. So it's healthcore.org if you want to have kids in your neighborhood get mentored by folks around the country, especially NFL alumni. And if you want to really do a lot of good for yourself and the NFL alumni, go to iHerb.com, iHerb.com, and just use the NFL alumni code. You get 15% off everything, and the players get something as well. And the website for the NFL alumni is NFLalumni.org.
NFLalumnihealth.org. NFL alumni health.
All right, be sure to check it out. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here and enjoy the rest of your Super
Bowl. Get the NFL Thanks. Network. Come on.
Thanks.
You're a coach.
Thank you so much.
Keep coaching. My next guest needs no introduction, so I won't get him one. Because no, here's my thing. Because you go back to the highs of the NFL Fantasy Live show.
Yep.
You're out there having so much fun.
Yeah.
You still work in TV? What are you doing now?
Yeah, you know.
What's happening?
I've been trying to figure out my way through sports television. But okay. But no, man, you know, fantasy football, I got to give, you know, NFL Fantasy Live its flowers because it helped to launch my career. You know. Before then, I was doing college football games, but once I got to the NFL Network and doing the NFL Fantasy Live, the next year I was able to land the audition for American Ninja Warrior, and since then things have been different. You know, fast forward to now, the talk on CBS, you know, then Fight to Survive on Roku. It's been pretty special.
it's one of those things that you got the American Ninja Warrior gig,
yeah,
and then you called your agent, our agent,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, can I get out of this NFL Network gig? Like, I'm a big star now.
Well, you know,
I'm gonna have to sit here and be the foil to Rank's dumb jokes.
Yeah. No, you know, for me, like, and just keeping it real, I saw a vision. I think you can appreciate this on the other side. Just keeping it real, you know, for me, I felt like there was a cap on, you know, how far I could go at the NFL Network because I didn't have a big playing career. You know, we would joke about my career and stuff like that and have fun with it. But I also, too, I felt like it was crippling. Whereas, you know, just like Brock Purdy, you know, people have what I call confirmation bias. They want to say, hey, he's quote unquote Mr. Irrelevant, seventh round draft pick. So we can't validate his talent because where he was drafted. And I just think it's nonsensical. So, you know, to me, I knew that I had to break out into entertainment because I wouldn't be judged by my playing career. I'd be judged by my ability to do the job. And again, bringing it to Brock Purdy, the guy has done the job. He's gotten his team all the way to the Super Bowl, and yet people still doubt and people still hate. Maybe he doesn't look like a superstar. Maybe he's not built like a superstar, but neither was Tom Brady. Well, he did have superstar looks, though. That he
eventually.
Did. Hey, eventually.
Look at the early picture of Tom Brady. A lot different picture nowadays.
Yeah, so, but it's been cool, man. I learned so much in the, you know, 7-8 years that I had at the NFL Network working with you, man. Your comedic timing, the stuff that you're doing out with your podcast. It's cool.
You upgraded going to Jerry O'Connell. There was like you made a definite. I was the guy that rode the bus on the minor league team. Like, oh yeah, I remember there was this catcher in A-ball that I remember.
Now, I'm always gonna remember Adam Rank, man. No, nobody had your timing. Nobody did listening better than you, because if anybody would call out some of my hyperbolic stuff that I would do on air, it would be you. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm like, Adam, man, can you let me have my hyperbolic moment?
I let you have Cecil shorts, and that was it.
You remember? And then I tried to ride.
Hey, listen, you had one hit the whole time.
No, I had a couple.
You were Kaja Gugu of NFL Fantasy. No, you were too shy.
No, I had some other guys. I had Cecil Shorts, and I had another one. That
was
nobody...
one of the quarterbacks from one of the Midwest schools that used to, or no, one of the, not Mark
No,
Sanchez.
It was somebody else that I had.
Let's not bring up Mark Sanchez for anybody who was there.
It was somebody else that I hit on, and people were like, yo, how did he know? And I was like, no, I'm going to, yeah.
It was actually one of the quarterbacks that still plays today. He played for one of the Mountain West schools. Oh, it'll come to me.
Anyways,
it was a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, I wanted to get you, we talked about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, and they said, Akbar, he's too expensive. No. I went. I said, hey, we want to redo one of our old bits, one of our old gags. And I don't want to call the person out, but let's just say his name rhymes with Dave Frederick. Because Akbar's too big of a star. We can't afford him.
Oh,
like,
man.
I said
I'd come out there for free, man, just to – because somebody hit me up, man. It's like, yo, man, like, can you do It's a Trap one more time? And I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to come out there. So I hit you up. I said, let's do It's a Trap, man. We'll figure out some way. We'll do a It's a Trap thing again.
That was always one of the most remarkable things.
Yeah.
The amount of effort, and I always told you this, is, and I, in a non-joking manner, like, you're too good for this.
I appreciate that.
And I sincerely mean that. Like, you watch people and you're like, you're going to be a bigger star. It's like The Rock. Like, when you saw The Rock as a professional wrestler, you're like, that guy's not going to be a professional wrestler forever because he's going to be able to do other things.
But he is coming back.
I know.
He is coming back for WrestleMania.
So maybe at some point when I'm about to finish my story, you can come in and interrupt it. Like, oh, Akbar won't let me finish my story. Like The Rock. I can't have my one thing.
This takes me back, though. Nobody will call somebody out more than you will.
Yes. Yeah. You're a big human being. Yeah.
I know.
I'm not afraid of you.
Who do you think will win in the fight between you and I?
100%. I'm dirtier.
Okay, can you ask your listeners who they
who
think
would win in a fight?
Can you guys please literally go in right now, go into the X or to the Instagram, and tell me who do you think would win? Because I mean, we could arm wrestle if you want.
No. You know what? I actually have a little bit of tendonitis.
Oh,
you do? I was swinging some golf clubs over there.
Oh, okay, sure.
I might be playing on the tour soon, so. I almost needed you this year because David Njoku came after me, and I'm like, I don't have Akbar protecting me.
I talked to David yesterday.
I saw him.
Yeah, I saw. He told me he squashed the beef.
But he said I still suck. That's fine. That's totally fair.
I saw that on David's on Twitter or something. I was like, yo, he called out Adam Rank. Yeah. I'm like, and I think I texted you. I was like, yo, man.
You need me?
Like, I was like, man, you need another Nigerian brother to get your back, man. You know what I'm saying? I got you. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So what are you doing here? Obviously, we see you all over the place. I love the talk. I know that, you know, you guys are finally back up in production. It's so great. And I love Jerry O'Connell, too. And I just love the chemistry that you guys have had. It makes me a little, like, I remember the good times. It makes me a little bit jealous because I enjoy watching you. What are you doing here at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, we are here today. It's the big game right around the corner. And so Experian went out and surveyed a bunch of people who were getting ready to watch the big game and realized that 30% of people don't have a financial game plan. And so I'm here as an advocate and with a partnership to help people improve their financial game plan. 80% of those people actually are looking towards raising their credit score. Food is expensive. Interest rates are high. Cost of living. I mean, when you start looking at all of that, you start like, man, that adds up, right? You start thinking about that latte that you, I know you like to drink with your oat milk, right? You know,
how do you know? You got me hooked on that.
You got the oat milk latte. Those used to be $5 when we worked together. Oh, yeah. Now they're like $10. And so you start thinking about what does that do to your credit card? What does that do to then all of a sudden you're overspending and now all of a sudden you're mounting up debt? Well, with Experian, Experian has Experian Boost that they literally help to boost your credit score by taking care of your responsibility, the things that you're supposed to do, like paying for your streaming services, paying for your utility bills. You get credit for that. But they've created this ecosystem now with the Experian Smart Money digital checking account. Now, you see this here? This is my Experian card right here. You can see that right here.
Like, if don't show them the number.
Is this live?
Yeah.
It's not live.
Somebody's going to see that.
No, but anyways, look. The idea
we're going
is
to the Tropicana. On
like the idea is, yeah, I
set my sights higher.
You know what? Go ahead. If you want to spend it, we'll boost your credit score. Okay. You know, but I mean, or you'll be boosting my credit score. But this is live? Okay. Well, you can show it. It's okay. It's fine. You know,
is this a real number?
Yes, it is.
Look, he will do this. He gave out his phone number.
I gave out my phone number. Look, you know what, man?
I'm
passionate about something, I'm telling you, Experian Boost is here to help. And so with the Experian Smart Money digital checking account, you can have all of that stuff kind of in one. It's embedded. The Experian Boost is embedded into that. And when you're spending money on things that qualify towards boosting your credit, you're getting credit for it. Rather than having to go open up some credit line and run your credit and do all this other kind of stuff, you can really move towards financial freedom and financial flexibility.
All right. Well, you're doing great stuff. Who do you got for the game?
I know you're going to love my score. I know you're going to love my team.
Oh, no. 94 to something. It's got to have 94 involved.
No, this time it doesn't. It's 28-21. Easy. The Kansas City Chiefs, man.
Absolutely.
You do have the Kansas City Chiefs winning, right? Okay. There's somebody who started these rumors that the 49ers are favored to win. I'm like, in what world? In what reality?
You're in Vegas. Go look at one of the boards.
I don't know how to read them.
We knew that a long time ago. But listen, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you so much. Love you too, man.
Come here for the real thing.
All right, man.
This is Akbar. A blast from the past. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
And keep doing the good work.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Running, I got my guy Kyle Yates here. How are you doing? How are you enjoying Super Bowl week so far?
This has been absolute mass chaos.
Everyone's
like, oh, prepare for Radio Row and the chaos. Like, how do you prepare for this?
Yeah. Is this your first time doing it?
This is my first time doing this, too. Yeah. So, like, we've been here since Monday. We've been rolling. I'm exhausted already, and the week hasn't really even, like, fully kicked off. I mean, tomorrow is going to be absolutely insane, but absolutely enjoying this. This is a ridiculously wild atmosphere.
Do you get starstruck by media personalities? Because I do. Like, I saw the Golics earlier. Chris Long's over there. I'm like, I freak out more about that than I do the actual players.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. Like, you spend so much of your time listening to these players, listening to these people, listening to people in the media and all this sort of stuff. You feel like you know them. And then you see them in person, you're like, oh, you're actually not as tall as I thought you would be. Or you're way shorter than I, you know, like.
Well, you're actually tall. Like, I was, that's a little, that threw me off.
Oh, you thought I was like 5'2"?
I really did. Okay. I just assumed that everybody who does fantasy is about 5'4". And you're like, yeah.
It's pretty a safe assumption. You'll hit more than not.
Like, right? Like, yeah you're kind of like, like it's almost off-putting.
Yeah.
Like, I go, now I don't know how I feel about you. I'm like, really liked you before, but now he's too tall. You can't have the good looks and the tallness. So obviously one of the big things for us is, like, we love the Bears
and there's a quarterback situation going on. I think that you've had a pretty measured approach of what the Bears should do, but which way are you leaning? Like, what do you think the Bears, not a prediction, but what would you do if you're in Ryan Poles' position?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right? Like, the massive, and it's a great situation to be in, right, with that trade going back to Carolina, you know, that move that was made before the draft last year. No way did they anticipate that they would be holding the number one overall pick in this draft. And so I think that they were going all in and building around Justin Fields, which you were supposed to do. He had an absolutely abysmal supporting cast the year prior. Get DJ Moore in there. You get Darnell Wright for the offensive line. You start to see some signs of progress. Yet at the same time, there was the X factor of Luke Getsy and the offensive scheme not really being willing to put these players into the best position to succeed. I think as you look at Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, I got a chance to sit down and actually watch Caleb Williams' tape, the All-22, sit down and watch that recently. I don't see how, as much as Justin Fields has done for this franchise, I don't see how you can pass on Caleb Williams.
Is that right?
I don't see how you can do it. Now, he needs a solid and stable structure around him to be able to succeed. He didn't really have that at USC, so he played hero ball. It's true, but at the same time, the situation was so abysmal. The offensive line was absolutely horrific. So to keep them in games, he had to play hero ball. He had to go above and beyond and play outside of the structure because the structure sucked. So I think if you can get him in a solid, stable structure and give him time to develop, put some solid receiving weapons around him, there's a legitimate chance that Caleb Williams could be the best quarterback in the NFL up there in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes within 2 to 3 years. That's how good the tape is.
And when you look at what C.J. Stroud was able to do last year, does that kind of help you make that decision? Because you don't want to be so quick to dismiss Justin Fields because of everything that was going on with the coaching. But at the same time, you're like, these other guys are being able to do that and having immediate success. Does that also go into your evaluation?
A lot of conversations that I've been having this week with, you know, the former players and stuff like that is coaching matters. Like, coaching matters a lot more than we give it credit for. And obviously that seems like very obvious and redundant statement. But at the same time, I mean, there's a varying level of coaching competency in the NFL. Yeah. And if you have a Bobby Slowick in Houston who was putting C.J. Stroud, and you look at the receiving weapons in Houston, Nico Collins, he's good, but he's not a top 10 wide receiver.
Not Andre Johnson.
Right. Tank Dell, he came out of nowhere, but he's not, you know, an elite receiver by any stretch of the imagination. And you had Brevin Jordan and these other receiving weapons, and they were still getting the job done because he was catering to the strengths of C.J. Stroud, making him comfortable, putting him in the best positions to succeed. And so that matters immensely. And I think if you can – I want to see Justin in a spot where he gets that.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't gotten that through the first 7 years of his career.
Yeah, that's one of the things, too, is I always look at this as, the good problem to have. I understand the science on both sides of it, you know, why they would want to move on or why they wouldn't want to move on. I still lean toward it because I still have that fan pull in me of, so much invested in Justin Fields, so excited – when he was drafted, I'm like, I would hate to throw that away. Like, it's like a breakup in a way.
I know.
Oh, we got to break up. But sometimes maybe you got to make a move. What are some of the other things, though? Because regardless of what happened to the quarterback position, they still have the 9th overall pick. What do you think is the most important thing there? Are they going to go best player available, or will they attack the edge, the line, maybe a wide receiver?
I do think best player available is always the right approach in the NFL draft, right? If you can go into that, and especially with this surplus pick, right, at number 9, because you're going to count number 1 to get yourself a quarterback. But I think at number 9, to use that to get a best player available, free agency is going to be a huge part to set themselves up to succeed and to be able to do that. If you can go out there and you can get, if T. Higgins hits the open market, like DJ Moore, T. Higgins, you've got a ton of cap space.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about two dynamic wide receivers with Caleb Williams. Then you get Cole Kmet at the tight end position, and now suddenly you're building and you've got a really solid structure. Then you're in that position, the best player available at number 9. Go offensive line. Go, you know, maybe you move Braxton Jones inside. You go a left tackle if one of those guys is still there. There's plenty of options available. A number 2 speed rusher opposite of Montez Sweat, right, on the defensive side of the ball. There's options. But I think right now, best player available and go into free agency and say, we're going to try to plug all the holes that we possibly can to put ourselves into that situation where we can take the best player available.
Yeah, that is one of the things, too, is that free agency is going to be able to tell a lot of things. Like, hey, like you said, if we sign T. Higgins, probably not drafting a wide receiver.
Right.
And I think, was it Joe Alt who's available? I that's a guy. I'm sounding like Collinsworth. Here's a guy that, I really have been watching him. I'm like, oh, God. And I like Braxton Jones. I think Braxton Jones is a good player. But, like, I don't know. He's very – Braxton Jones is very athletic and would be able to play guard. But I don't know. Like, looking at all of them, like, that's a pretty nice spot.
Yeah, I mean, to go back-to-back years with top 10 picks of investing in the offensive line, like, you're doing what – you're setting Caleb Williams, if he is the pick at number one, you're setting him up to succeed the way that you didn't with – the previous regime didn't with Justin Fields, what Ryan Poles is trying to do. The only part of that is, like, Ryan Poles has been able to find some very, very – to Braxton Jones, he's been able to find some very, very talented offensive linemen deep in the NFL draft. So do you still – do you go back-to-back top 10 picks on offensive linemen? But – the thought of a Joe Alt and Darnell Wright or Olufoshanu, the offensive tackle out of Penn State, and Darnell Wright, like, that's a scary, scary thought there. And that's the situation that Caleb Williams needs to succeed.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Other Bears things going on this week. Devin Hester is up for the Hall of Fame. Steve McMichael is up for the Hall of Fame. What's your gut feel? Do you think either one of those guys get in?
I think Hester, it'd be so fun. It'd be so fun to see Hester get in. It's one of those things, like, there are so many talented players every single year that are eligible for the Hall of Fame. So it's like, and there are snubs. We do content off of it. Like, there are Hall of Fame snubs that should have gotten in this round, but didn't, just because of the strength of the other, you know, players that were in that Hall of Fame class. So I would absolutely love to see Devin Hester. Steve McMichael obviously would be fantastic to put in. Hester, though, I feel like should.
They let him wait a couple of years. I think now it's the time to be like, look, he should go in there. He should be a part of this.
Yep.
He was such a game changer.
Yep.
Like, that is the whole thing. Like, are you the best at your position?
Right.
And I think a lot of people lose sight of that. Because I was talking about Patrick Willis the other day. I'm like, that guy played 8 years.
Yeah.
But he was a five-time, again, like, starstruck with dudes walking by. Kenny Mayne just walked by, and you're like, holy shit. Like, that is amazing. Like, that kind of stuff. It still stops me in my tracks. And he was a UNLV guy, so this has got to be big for him. Yeah. But I forget about Patrick Willis. Played 8 years. He was a first-team All-Pro 5 times. He was a second-team All-Pro the other year. He was a Defensive Player of the Year. Like, people get weird about, like, well, if you let – what about London French? I'm like, okay,
right.
First of all, no. But also, like, don't do that – like, judge the guy on his merit. Because with Devin Hester, like, well, what about Dante? I'm like, well, the Dante Hall's – his conversation comes up later.
Yeah.
It's like when it's somebody's birthday. You don't walk up and you're like, well, what about my birthday?
Right.
You know, my birthday's in December. Like, no. You're like, we'll celebrate the person who's there right now. So you're here with the Pro Football Network.
Yep.
What are you guys doing here at Radio Row this week? Where can everybody find you?
Yeah. PFN 365 is where we're going to be pushing all the interviews and everything that we're doing. We did an interview earlier with Bert Kreischer, which was just fantastic. It was an awesome interview. I interviewed Sean Merriman yesterday.
On?
He did keep his shirt on, which we appreciated. I interviewed Sean Merriman yesterday, Mark Ingram earlier today. We've got Kurt Warner on the show tomorrow. So we're having some awesome conversations covering football, as in-depth as we possibly can and bringing it to the people. So PFN 365 on social media and then profootballnetwork.com.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Yeah. I'll see you in our fantasy draft. Josh Norris, by the way, is so upset that our fantasy has divisions. And I'm like, bro, we're playing, like, it's a fun league.
Do you know there's like 8 or 9 of us from the league here out of the 12?
Yeah. Like, let's have a quorum and let's vote on this.
Yep.
And I'm going to make, I want to go over, we'll go to a bar.
Yep.
We'll go to Batista's Hole in the Wall.
Yep.
We'll get some wine. And then I'll make my pitch of how these division rivalries are what keep me invested. Because Bob Golic and I have this rivalry going. And if we broke up that division, it would never be the same.
There we go.
That's my pitch. But you got to go do some stuff.
Yep,
thanks for stopping by.
Yep.
Get out of here.
All right.
He goes. The great Kyle Yates.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.